Let's talk tech with Richard Pascoe. He's on the phone tonight, but can still take your calls. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Matthew. What a great week in Adelaide.
Is that because of the football?
Yeah, of course, Matthew. So yes, I can get it all in as quickly as I can. So it's great the border in the final.
Absolutely. And you know, what a shame they won't get the grand final here when they qualify for that.
Yes, it is. And yeah, disappointed about that. But you know what? We'll beat anybody anywhere.
Mm. All right. There you go. That's a big call. Hope you're right too. Hey, there's a few people wanting to chat with you tonight. Just before we get to them, Spotify, they seem to know a fair bit about people who use their service.
We have a lot of people always complain about, you know, we've got complaint about Apple and knowing things about us and Google knowing things about us. And Spotify seems to slide under the radar because people don't want to use the big music players out there. They seem to want to go to Spotify sometimes. But, you know, most users will be aware that the streaming service, they track your listening activity, your search history, your playlist. Well, I understand that most people would.
Mm.
But according to Spotify's privacy policy, and hold on for the ride here,
yeah,
the company also tracks your name, your email address. They know your phone number. They know your date of birth. They know your gender, your street address, the country that you're in. They know your Facebook user ID, the login information to Facebook, what you like on Facebook. They know the computer you're using or the tablet or the smartphone, the operating system that it runs, the browser that you're using, and even some data from other Wi-Fi networks connected in your home.
Why do they need all that info?
Well, they're going to tell you it's because they're tailoring song and artist recommendations to your taste to improve the in-app experience. I reckon that's a crock, because the company also uses it to attract advertising partners who can then create ads based on your information. And to top it all off, Spotify also, your information on there is actually public by default. So anyone with a Spotify account can look up Matthew Bantelis,
really?
Or Matthew Pascoe, and see what we like on there as well. So I'm urging people at the moment, I'm going to put a post up in the next couple of days, go into Spotify account privacy settings and cut the privacy down. They don't need to see all of this. I reckon it's criminal. It really is what they know.
Wow. And they don't need to. Well, can you open an account without giving them all that info?
Most people go in, Matthew, set all the defaults on there, never go in. It's like we never go into the settings on anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's our fault for doing that. You know, you really need to go along and do it. I mean, most of the things that Rod Sims complains about, the ACCC, about Google, you can go in the back into Google and turn it all off if you want to.
Yes.
You know, why not go along and do it? So Spotify, you know, at the moment is on my radar for things I don't like at the moment.
What's their hookup with Facebook? Are they connected?
They are. They're connected through that because what happens is that they both feed off each other. It's what, like a lot of websites do as well, because people always say, you know, I wasn't on Facebook. Suddenly I opened Facebook up and all of these things popped up on there as well.
Okay.
So, you know, it must be listening to me. No. We've got to remember, Facebook has connections to nearly probably 99% of websites around the world.
And they're not owned, are they, in the way Instagram is a Facebook company?
No. Spotify's a company, and people might prove me wrong. I don't think Spotify's made a dollar since day one.
Really?
They lose money every year, but people keep investing in them because hopefully one day they might make a dollar out of it.
Well, how do they get by? How do they make money then? How do they live, these people?
Well, people keep paying them, and it's like the bills keep going out the back. And, yeah, I find it fat. I mean, I don't think Uber's made money since day one either.
I've heard that. That's right.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Anyway, look, well, let's go to the callers. There's a few of them for you. Susan, we'll start with you. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, we're good.
Good to meet you guys. How are you?
Excellent.
Got a question for Richard. Before COVID struck, I had done a number of holidays to America and bought a Nokia mobile phone with a T-Mobile company, and had, each time my sister and I went there, we got a new SIM card. Haven't used it for about 4 years, but I received an email from T-Mobile warning that details can be hacked even though the phone hasn't been used for a number of years. And I'm just wondering, is this the case and what can I do?
This is interesting. You're talking about something international for once. T-Mobile have had a security problem over there at the moment. So what it means is that your details are up for sale at the moment on the internet. So they're saying if you've got it, if you can log in your T-Mobile account, change your change your password on there for a start. And it's probably all right for you because you're here in Australia. If you're over there, there's things like SIM swapping hackers and other things like that. I think you should be fine on there as well. But I've just pulled it up. Your first and last name, your birth date, social security number, you don't have one. Driver's license information, you don't have one. Probably your first and last name are already available, Susan. So I don't think you've got too much to worry about.
Right, okay, because the phone hasn't been turned on since we came back in 2017. And, like, I just was curious because all of a sudden this just came in with my email address today and I just thought it was a bit odd.
Yeah, it's only happened the last couple of days, Susan.
Right.
You know, it really is. So, you know, and it's affecting 50 million people in the United States.
Wow.
So I've got nothing to worry about then?
To worry about because you're over here in Australia and you're not going back to the States for a while.
Oh, so, yeah. I don't think we'll ever get back there, mate.
Come okay, on, Susan. We will get back there one day. Okay.
I thank you kindly for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. Patricia at Windsor Gardens. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Patricia.
Hi. I've got a question about monitoring the children's internet usage. So what can I do to monitor what site they're on, what they're searching, and also how long can I restrict the time that they're on? So if they've got their computer or, for example, their mobile phone in their bedroom at 9 o'clock, I know they're not doing anything on it because I've restricted their usage. Is there anything to do that I can do for that?
How old are they?
I've got a 13-year-old turning 14 soon, an 11-year-old who we're needing a device soon, and the other one's 5, so he's not too much of a problem, but he's the two older ones.
Yep, so... and
he's learning from them, though, Patricia. He's learning. He's watching and learning.
So it's about you're starting at the right age to go along and monitor what they're doing. That's for a start. So it's having that conversation, I always say, with the kids out there that, you know, what the internet's like and things. You know, for it, have they got phones already?
No, not yet, no.
So it's only it's only going through your router on the internet, isn't it?
So the one's got the laptop and she brings that to school. But I'm assuming the school has got their security because she's using their internet at school. She comes home and
can I just say, speak to the school as well?
Yep.
You know, but people assume that the schools have got it all tied down. Some schools do a great job out there. Others, I think, do a very poor job sometimes of it. So talk to the schools about it. If you put child safety things on at home to make sure they don't go on the wrong things, the kids get around it in about 2 seconds, and it really does, you know, sometimes block what you're trying to see and do at home for you as well. Yeah. So, you know, it's about don't be afraid to turn the router off sometimes. And there are settings in some routers out there. Send me an email and I'll send you a couple of suggestions to go along and say, internet to these devices is closed down at 9 o'clock at night. Finished on there as well. Okay. So you can still sit back and watch Netflix do things on your devices, but the kids are being cut off on theirs.
Yeah, we've done that. We've done that. So they switch off at a certain time. So, yep.
Okay. Because the router I've got was the one supplied to me by Optus.
Yep. Send me an email with all the details on it and let's see what we can do. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Thank you, Patricia. We'll take a quick break, Richard, and we'll come back. Jamie's on the line, and I think Ted wants to have a chat as well. So we will do all that, and you can join in too on 8223 0000. Richard Pascoe, Adelaide Tech Guy, is here answering all your tech calls.
5AA Nights with Matthew Pantelis.
Richard Pascoe, Adelaide Tech Guy on the line, taking your calls and chatting about tech in general. We got an email from Peter, Richard, who says, did you have to cook your own schnitty tonight?
Yeah, that's a bit rude. Thanks, Peter. No, I'm actually surrounded. I've got three laptops, which are I picked up from clients today. I've got to be back tomorrow. So, yeah, couldn't do it. So, yeah.
Good on you. All right. Jamie's at Mount Bark. Hello, Jamie.
G'day, guys. Hey, I've got a bit of a security issue. I have an iPhone 7, which I've heard is good security on it. But I was performing some tasks on my phone. I can't remember what it was. And an ad for a security company came up. And I went along with it and put all my data in it. And can I name the company?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called, God, I forgot their name now. Mavic AV.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, they promised all these bells and whistles. So it was $2.99 a month. I thought, you can't go wrong.
Mm.
So I signed up. And now the following month, they've up the price at $10.99 a month.
You've gone wrong.
I've been sucked in here, yeah. And I thought, all right, we'll just delete the app. So I deleted the app off my screen. My question to you is, have I gotten rid of the subscription by deleting the app?
No.
No,
you've got a lot. You've got to. Sorry, I just went blank for a bit on my end. What phone was it?
It's an iPhone 7.
Okay, what you need to do, Jay, is go into settings and click on you in settings in there, and then you'll see in there, if you click in there, you'll see subscriptions in there, and yeah, that's what, yep.
Been in there, and it's right. Not there. It's just, there's my Disney Channel subscription, which I recently cancelled, and that was... No one else
at home. That is a bit of a concern. I would send a message to Apple for it, because if you subscribe to it, did you do it through the App Store or through them?
I think I did through the App Store.
Through the app. Definitely send
It was through them.
Sorry, through the App Store or through them?
I think it was through them. They put a ad up on the screen.
You've got to log on to their website and cancel it through them now.
Right. Okay.
All right. That's going to be, and let's say 95% of them do a really good job on there as well. But you know what? I would still send an email to Apple, because anything you subscribe to through things like that are through the App Store, Apple can control. If you start going outside of that, they can't control that, and so it's not really their. They'll go, it's not our fault, but informing them, they'll put pressure on them to make sure that anybody has to subscribe to that. And it doesn't. I've got to say that doesn't do much on an iPhone at all.
No, yeah.
All right, Jamie. Thank you. Good luck with that, Ted. Hello, Ted.
How you going?
Good.
I've got a question about VPNs. I've been trying to send a couple of emails once or twice on two different VPNs, and each time the email goes into my outbox but doesn't get sent, and then I can't send it unless I turn the VPN off, and then I find that I can't even send it then. It's sort of stuck there forever. I have to delete it and do another one. Is there a setting?
Can I ask you, why have you got the VPN on there?
It's on for when I browse the internet and that. But sometimes I just go into and send an email for some reason while I'm on the internet, and I forget that the VPN's on. But is it connected to the VPN being on that it's not sending?
Yeah, it is, and that's why it's not sending out there. Because it's altering your network settings to go along and send it out. Most people don't need a VPN. Even browsing the internet, we see all these ads on TV and things that browsing the internet with a VPN on makes you safer. It doesn't actually, because all it means is if you go to the wrong website, nobody else can see that you went to the wrong website out there. That's all. So you're still going to pick up infections. If you click a links, you know, in an email, you're still going to get infected on there as well. But if you've got a VPN running, nobody can see what you've done. So, you know, most cases, I've saw two people today was having nearly the same issue as you had. VPNs, we pulled them all off, everything went back to normal.
Okay. Because I had the same problem when I was on a ship and I was trying to get into Amazon, and I couldn't get into Amazon with my passwords and that, because the ship had a European network sort of thing.
Right. Where you are?
Sounds like you're in a submarine now.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. Close. Yeah, no, it was interesting anyway. But, yeah, okay, I'll just get rid of the VPN.
Get rid of the VPN.
All right, thank you, Ted. Thank you. 822-3000 if you've got a question for Richard. Now, Richard, Facebook Messenger adding end-to-end encryption for voice and video calls. So is this going to affect people?
Won't the government be happy about this? Encryption means that nobody can actually see or listen in on those video calls now. Facebook Messenger now is actually making 150 million video calls a day and growing on there as well. So lots of people are using it as well. They're trying to make it even more secure so nobody can see what they're doing, which does raise, as we would know, Matthew, red flags with the government, doesn't it?
Wow. Influencers might have a spot of bother posting photos up in Norway. Is that right?
I think this is a great idea. I really do. So, you know, we see all the people on the, especially on Instagram and TikTok, look superb out there as well. And they hold these high, basically unrealistic beauty standards out there. But Norway's passed a law that requires influencers and advertisers to go along and label retouch photos, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah, right.
And the law applies to images with altered body size, form, skin colour, the use of filters to take photos, any exaggeration of muscles, enlarged lips and narrower waist will require labelling on there as well. Mm. But I think it's a great idea. I really do, because they're looking at what the issues that, you know, when we see people online sometimes that it can affect people with mental health issues, give them low self-esteem, anxiety or even depression on there as well. I reckon it's a great idea, and you know, hopefully this will go out around the world. Because honestly, I've met a couple of people recently who are on Instagram. Didn't really look like their photo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, see, I always narrowed the waist on my photos, and now I'm just fat. Now, I think we missed your reaction, but never mind. That's a waste of a joke. Dallas Police Department, they've lost 8 terabytes of crime data, and that's thrown court cases into chaos.
It would never happen under Grant Stevens.
No, it wouldn't.
So a city employee accidentally deleted 8 terabytes of data when cases are going on there as well. And it actually... The law enforcement agency and the IT department actually took months to go along and disclose that it actually happened as well, which was, I think, the poor IT bloke was probably struggling badly to come up and say, look, I've lost some stuff. They'd lost 22 terabytes of data. He was able to get 14 terabytes back, which was good. 8 are unrecoverable. But it's got images, video, audio, case notes, and it only started to come to light when the district attorney said, why are we holding all these court cases up? So that's why we back things up all the time and make sure we can get them back.
Yeah, okay, interesting. I think it was Dave Renicky from Astro Space was telling me about how, because of the moon landings back in the day in the 60s and 70s, NASA was under cost pressures, so they instructed everyone to save where you can, and the good people there thought, well, okay, so they wiped the original copies of the audio of the moon landing. And among other things, so that's lost forever, but they've got duplicates, fortunately. But anyway, it's probably worse, I would think, than losing court. Well, maybe. Yeah. It depends. Hey, the stolen Goldfinger 007 Aston Martin from that movie, it's been found after all these years, apparently.
It has. I thought it was a great story, because why are you talking about cars on there as well? We all remember the 1964 James Bond film Goldfinger out there as well, which had one of the most famous Aston Martins ever done as well. But in 1997, one of them was stolen from a private hangar in Florida, has been missing ever since. Now, this car is one of the only examples with all the working James Bond gadgets in it. Because remember, it had the ejector seat on there and all of those. It's actually valued at £18.2 million.
Goodness.
And turns out it's been spotted in the Middle East.
Really?
Yes.
And so, has it been recovered?
Not yet, but it's been spotted. They're hoping it's the person that's got it is going to come forward voluntarily before they actually dob the bloke in or woman in who's actually stolen it as well. And there's actually a $100,000 reward out there for anyone that can help locate the DB5 over there as well. I just thought it was a fascinating story.
Goodness
After all
me.
These years, it's finally turned up. You couldn't drive it down the shops.
No, you couldn't. And if you did, you might get ejected.
Exactly right.
Wow. Okay, interesting. And I did see this auction item, but I didn't realise it had been sold. This letter that Steve Jobs wrote to somebody asking for his autograph, saying he doesn't do autographs, but he'd sign the letter.
Exactly. It sold for $500,000.
Wow.
It read, "Dear Mr. M. Barron, I'm honoured that you write, but I'm afraid I don't sign autographs." And he dated it the May the 11th, 1983, and signed it Stephen P. Jobs, Chairman, Board of Directors, on an Apple computer letterhead and addressed it. So it actually sold for $479,939.
Goodness me. That's hilarious that he doesn't do autographs but sign the letter.
He declined most requests for anything like that and turned it all down. So,
goodness.
Yeah.
How about that? Somebody's made a packet, and lucky they kept it. Hey, imagine that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Where did Mum put that? I don't know. I think she chucked it out.
Imagine. Well, I actually met somebody who had an original Apple, and his wife did throw it away.
No.
A few years ago. Yes, in a working order. No, we don't want this anymore. Threw it in the rubbish bin, took it away.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, I was looking for a cup of sauce today that I think got chucked out, and that I can understand the frustration. Anyway, all right. Thank you, Richard. We will chat again next Tuesday night. If people want to find you or email you, as the case may be, how can they do that?
Head over to adelaidetechguide.com.au.
Terrific. All right. Chat next Tuesday. Thank you. Richard Pascoe, Adelaide Tech Guy. Richard Pascoe, Adelaide Tech Guy on the line, taking your calls and chatting about tech in general. We got an email from Peter, Richard, who says, "Did you have to cook your own schnitty tonight?"
Yeah, that's a bit rude. Thanks, Peter. No, I've got three laptops, which are I picked up from clients today. I've got to be back tomorrow. So, yeah, couldn't do it, so yeah.
Good on you. All right. Jamie's at Mount Barker. Hello, Jamie.
G'day, guys. Hey, I've got a bit of a security issue. I have an iPhone 7, which I've heard is good security on it, but I was performing some tasks on my phone. I can't remember what it was. And an ad for a security company came up, and I went along with it and put all my data in it. Can I name the company?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called... oh, God, I forgot their name now. Marvic AV.
Right. Anyway,
they promised all these bells and whistles. So $2.99 a month. I thought, you can't go wrong.
Mm.
So I signed up. And now the following month, they've up the price at $10.99 a month.
Yep. You've gone wrong.
I've been stuck in here, yeah. And I thought, all right, we'll just delete the app. So I deleted the app off my screen. My question to you is, have I gotten rid of the subscription by deleting the app?
No. You've got a lot. You've got to. Sorry, I just went blank for a bit on my end. What phone was it?
An iPhone 7.
Okay. What you need to do, Jay, is go into settings and click on you in settings in there. And then you'll see in there, if you click in there, you'll see subscriptions in there. And
yeah,
that's what. Yep.
Been in there and it's
right.
Not there. It's just there's my Disney Channel subscription, which I recently cancelled, and
right.
That was about it. No one else was home.
That is a bit of a concern. I would send a message to Apple for it, because if you subscribe to when you subscribe to it, did you do it through the App Store or through them?
I think I did through the App Store.
Through the app. Definitely send
it was through them.
Sorry, through the App Store or through them?
I think it was through them. They put a ad up on the screen.
You've got to log on to their website and cancel it through them now.
Right. Okay.
All right, that's going to be, and let's say 95% of them do a really good job on there as well. But you know what? I would still send an email to Apple, because anything you subscribe to through things like that are through the App Store, Apple can control. If you start going outside of that, they can't control that, and so it's not really there. They'll go, it's not our fault, but informing them, they'll put pressure on them to make sure that anybody has to subscribe to that. And it doesn't, I've got to say, that doesn't do much on an iPhone at all.
No. Yeah.
All right, Jamie, thank you. Good luck with that. Ted. Hello, Ted.
How you going? Good. I've got a question about VPNs. I've been trying to send a couple of emails once or twice on two different VPNs, and each time the email goes into my outbox but doesn't get sent, and then I can't send it unless I turn the VPN off, and then I find that I can't even send it then. It's sort of stuck there forever. I have to delete it and do another one. Is there a setting?
Can I ask you, why have you got the VPN on there?
It's on for when I browse the internet and that. But sometimes I just go on and send an email for some reason while I'm on the internet, and I forget that the VPN's on. But is it connected to the VPN being on that it's not sending?
Yeah, it is. It is, and that's why it's not sending out there. It's because it's altering your network settings to go along and send it out. Most people don't need a VPN. Even browsing the internet, we see all these ads on TV and things that browsing the internet with a VPN on makes you safer. It doesn't actually, because all it means is if you go to the wrong website, nobody else can see that you went to the wrong website out there. That's all. So you're still going to pick up infections. If you click a link, you know, in an email, you're still going to get infected on there as well. But if you've got a VPN running, nobody can see what you've done. So, you know, most cases, I've saw two people today was having nearly the same issue as you had VPNs. We pulled them all off. Everything went back to normal.
Okay. Because I had the same problem when I was on a ship and I was trying to get into Amazon, and I couldn't get into Amazon with my passwords and that, because the ship had a European network sort of thing.
Right. Where you are?
Sounds like you're in a submarine now.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. Close. Yeah, no, it was interesting anyway. But, yeah, okay, I'll just get rid of the VPN.
Get rid of the VPN.
All right, thank you, Ted. Thank you. 822-3000 if you've got a question for Richard. Now, Richard, Facebook Messenger adding end-to-end encryption for voice and video calls. So is this going to affect people?
Won't the government be happy about this? Encryption means that nobody can actually see or listen in on those video calls now. Facebook Messenger now is actually making 150 million video calls a day and growing on there as well. So lots of people are using it as well. They're trying to make it even more secure so nobody can see what they're doing, which does raise, as we would know, Matthew, red flags with the government, doesn't it?
Wow. Influencers might have a spot of bother posting photos up in Norway. Is that right?
I think this is a great idea. I really do. So, you know, we see all the people on the, you know, especially on Instagram and TikTok look superb out there as well. And they hold these high, basically unrealistic beauty standards out there. But Norway's passed a law that requires influencers and advertisers to go along and label retouched photos, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah, right.
And the law applies to images with altered body size, form, skin colour, the use of filters to take photos, any exaggeration of muscles, enlarged lips and narrower waist will require labelling on there as well. Mm. But I think it's a great idea. I really do, because they're looking at what the issues that, you know, when we see people online sometimes that it can affect people with mental health issues, give them low self-esteem, anxiety or even depression on there as well. I reckon it's a great idea, and you know, hopefully this will go out around the world. Because honestly, I've met a couple of people recently who are on Instagram. Didn't really look like their photos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, see, I always narrowed the waist on my photos, and now I'm just fat. Now, I think we missed your reaction, but never mind. That's a waste of a joke. Dallas Police Department, they've lost 8 terabytes of crime data, and that's thrown court cases into chaos.
Oh, it would never happen under Grant Stevens.
No, it wouldn't.
So a city employee accidentally deleted 8 terabytes of data when cases are going on there as well. And it actually... The law enforcement agency and the IT department actually took months to go along and disclose that it actually happened as well, which was, I think, the poor IT bloke was probably struggling badly to come up and say, look, I've lost some stuff. They'd lost 22 terabytes of data, but he was able to get 14 terabytes back, which was good. They're unrecoverable, but it's got images, video, audio, case notes, and it only started to come to light when the district attorney said, why are we holding all these court cases up? So that's why we back things up all the time and make sure we can get them back.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Dave Renicky from Astrospace was telling me about how, because of the moon landings back in the day, in the 60s and 70s, NASA was under cost pressures, so they instructed everyone to save where you can, and the good people there thought, well, okay, so they wiped the original copies of the audio of the moon landing. And among other things, so that's lost forever, but they've got duplicates, fortunately. But anyway, it's probably worse, I would think, than losing court. Well, maybe, it depends. Hey, the stolen Goldfinger 007 Aston Martin from that movie, it's been found after all these years, apparently.
It has. I thought it was a great story, but so why are you talking about cars on there as well? We all remember the 1964 James Bond film Goldfinger out there as well, which had one of the most famous Aston Martins ever done as well. But in 1997, one of them was stolen from a private hangar in Florida, has been missing ever since. Now, this car is one of the only examples with all the working James Bond gadgets in it. Because remember, it had the ejector seat on there and all of those. It's actually valued at £18.2 million.
Goodness.
And turns out it's been spotted in the Middle East.
Really?
Yes.
And so, has it been recovered?
Not yet, but it's been spotted. They're hoping it's the person that's got it's going to come forward voluntarily before they actually dob the bloke in or woman in who's actually stolen it as well. And there's actually a $100,000 reward out there for anyone that can help locate the DB5. Over there as well. I just thought it was a fascinating story.
Goodness
After all
me.
These years, it's finally turned up. You couldn't drive it down the shops.
No, you couldn't. And if you did, you might get ejected. So.
Exactly right.
Wow. Okay, interesting. And I did see this auction item, but I didn't realise it had been sold. This letter that Steve Jobs wrote to somebody asking for his autograph, saying he doesn't do autographs, but he'd sign the letter.
Exactly. It sold for $500,000.
Wow.
It went and it read, "Dear Mr. M. Barron, I'm honoured that you write, but I'm afraid I don't sign autographs." And he dated it the May the 11th, 1983 and signed it Stephen P. Jobs, Chairman, Board of Directors, on an Apple computer letterhead and addressed it. So it actually sold for $479,939.
Goodness me. That's hilarious that he doesn't do autographs but sign the letter.
He declined most requests for anything like that. It turned it all down. So,
how about that? Somebody's made a packet and lucky they kept it. Hey, imagine that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Where did Mum put that? I don't know. I think she chucked it out.
That's right. Well, I actually met somebody who had an original Apple and his wife did throw it away a few years ago. Yes, in a working order. No, we don't want this anymore. And threw it in the bin. The rubbish bin took it away.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, I was looking for a cup of sauce today that I think got chucked out, and that I can understand the frustration. Anyway, all right. Thank you, Richard. We will chat again next Tuesday night. If people want to find you or email you, as the case may be, how can they do that?
Head over to adelaidetechguide.com.au.
Terrific. All right. Chat next Tuesday. Thank you. Richard Pascoe, Adelaide Tech Guide.